Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. You've had things happen many times to you where you've read a passage and not knowing what I was going to preach on, and I spoke on this very thing. Brother John did not know what Mac was going to read this morning. I asked Mac to read Romans 9. Well, John chose, "Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter. I am clay." I love that. And I had no idea how well that went with the text this morning, the leper. But this leper who came to Christ, he sure could have sung this song. Oh, mine iniquity. Oh. He went on to talk about, "Wash me this day. Lord, make me clean." He could have sung that song, couldn't he? Psalm 38. "My loins are filled with a loathsome disease." That's a good choice, John. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Luke chapter 5. This is our text. It came up in the study in the providence of God. Right after we looked at the great fisher of men, this same story follows. Now this is recorded three times, and as you may have heard my pastor say in the message I sent you, it doesn't necessarily mean something is more important than something else, but it certainly should get our attention to it. If it's one time, it's vital, it's of infinite importance. If it's three times, there's something here we really, really need to see. The title of his message was "How a Sinner Can Come to Christ." And this one is, "Lord, if thou wilt." If thou wilt. Look at verse 12. This is the text and the title. Verse 12, "It came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." This is the question. This is the question. There's only one question asked here. And the question was not, was this leper willing? The question was asked to the Lord, "If thou wilt." Because this is the issue. This is the question. This is the issue. Not are you willing, but is the Lord willing? The issue concerning everything and everyone, every person, every place, everything, every event, everything under the sun, on the earth, all things are completely dependent upon and subject to and according to the will of God Almighty. All things. Daniel 4, verse 35 reads this way. I love this. I loved it. And he said many times throughout Daniel. He said, you must know this, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And he said that three times. And then he closed the chapter by saying this. And this was Nebuchadnezzar. This was a pagan, unregenerate, lost, heathen king whom the Lord revealed himself to. A man who thought he had his way and his will. And the Lord reduced him to a beast. And he hears his conclusion. He said, "I, Nebuchadnezzar, I have my understanding returned unto me. I bless the Most High. I praised and honored him who liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? He doeth according to his will." Everything does according to his will. Even his people, if willing, are made willing by his will and by his power. Nothing is left to man's will. Man's will is depraved. Man's will is corrupt. Man's will is sinful. Our will is controlled by our nature. The Lord said this in Jeremiah, I believe it was. He said, can the Ethiopian change his skin? No. Can the leopard change his spot? No. Neither can you do good which you're accustomed to doing evil. It is our nature to do, choose what is according to our nature. Lions eat meat. Cattle eat grass. You can't get a lion to eat grass. You can't get a sheep to eat meat. It's their nature. And you can't get a man by nature to choose good, to choose God. He chooses evil. Adam and Eve had free will. They had free choice. God gave them that. They were deceived by the one who started all this by saying, how did all sin start? Where did all error start? Where did all sin start? What is the root of all sin? I will. Didn't Satan do that? I will. And then he came to Adam and Eve in the garden. He came to the man and woman who didn't know evil. They knew good. He said, you will be as God. Choose. You'll know good. Choose God or your will. That's what he said. Choose God or your will. So this is what Satan, how it all started. How all sin, all error started. Choose what you will. What did Adam and Eve choose? Evil. And so therefore, we are born with a will that will only choose evil. You don't have to tell your children to do bad. In fact, you're going to spend all of the time that they're in your house teaching them to do good. To make good choices, aren't you? They will automatically choose matter. Hate, anger, wrath, stealing. If you leave them to themselves, they'll be a rebellious, self-willed, no better than an animal. And we're all born with that. We will not choose good. We will not choose right. We will not choose God. We will not choose truth. And the false gospel being preached today has man as God with a sovereign will and has God as a man hoping that man will exert that will. Right? That's false. That's blasphemy. The truth is the exact opposite of that. Man's will is depraved. God's will is sovereign. This leper came and begged the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he said was, and this is what every sinner who finds out he's a leper does, and finds out there's only one that can do anything for him. He comes and he says, if thou wilt, you can. But you don't have to. Romans 9:16. Our brother read that, didn't he? It is not of him that willeth. I'm not asking you today if you will. I'm asking the Lord. I'm calling on the Lord. If thou wilt, you can. Christ looked at a crowd of people one time and he said, you will not come unto me that you have might have life, didn't he? And he said, no man can come unto me except what? The Father that shall sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last time. If according to the will of God, he's chosen the people and given them to the Lord Jesus Christ, they won't come unless he's done that. And if he has, they will come when he calls them. And he says, I will raise them up. I will. If anyone comes to Christ, if anyone believes Christ, if anyone calls on the name of the Lord, it's because Jesus Christ chose them. It's because he called them. It's because he drew them and exerted his sovereign will over them. Aren't you glad salvation is not according to your will? Aren't you glad that the Lord didn't leave you to your will? Aren't you glad that nothing is up to you being willing? Aren't you glad? Because I will not my flesh lusts against my spirit, and I cannot, I will not do what I should. But bless His holy name. And all things work according to His sovereign will, and His people are made willing. Made means forced, doesn't it? Made means created. Made means made what you are not, what you can't make yourself. This leper came to our Lord Jesus Christ because God chose him. God willed for him to. He didn't come of his own will. No, sir. He came because God, in his will, sent him to the Lord Jesus Christ. What's the point, preacher? What's the point? The glory of God. 100%. He will not share his glory with another. It's his will. It's not your will. It's not my will. It's his will. The root of all sin is our will. The root of salvation is his will. If left to our will, we're going to be damned. But now if it's God's will, and this is our hope for our lost loved one, this is our hope for us. If it's God's will that our loved one be saved, they're going to be saved. And so we call on Him, don't we? And He delights to show mercy. He will show mercy. Brother Mike read that, didn't he? Quoting Exodus 33. I will have mercy. Bless God, He will have mercy. He doesn't have to. The meaning of the word mercy means not getting what you deserve. And mercy is always sovereign. If someone gets mercy, it's the goodwill, the purpose, it's the choice, it's the prerogative of the one who's been offended, and that's God. And God said, I will have mercy. Bless God, He will have mercy. He delights to show mercy. But He says, on whom I will have mercy, not who will let me. In fact, anyone who thinks that is not going to get mercy. Anyone who thinks that doesn't need mercy. If you think, I let Jesus in, that means you don't need mercy. But if you're outside looking in and know there's no hope for you, that you don't deserve to come in, that it's only the mercy of the one in there, and if He lets you in, you know it's sovereign mercy that He let me in. All right, let's look at this exactly as it is written. The plain truth, okay, in the context. My pastor said, preachers have verse-itis. They pick a verse out. Not verse-itis. Verse-itis, like John 3:16. Very few people know John 3:36. Very few people know John 3:14. John 3:18. Take it in context. All right, in the context of this chapter, how did this begin? You looked at it with me. The Lord came to this seashore, and He saw two ships. He came to this certain place, the Lake of Gennesaret. He saw two ships. He knew whose ships those were. I told you, they were His ships. It was His lake, and those were His men. Those were His sheep. He'd come to call them. And He gave a command, didn't He? He said to Simon, He called Simon. He didn't call old Joe, what's his name over here in this boat. He left him. It was his sovereign choice, okay? And He came to Simon and Andrew and said, I've chosen your ship. I'm getting in your ship. Now launch out. He didn't ask him anything. He said, launch out. We're going out. We're going to catch a draft. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybe. No requests. No, He didn't ask him. He didn't, I sure hope you're willing for me to go. He said, I'm getting in this ship, and you're going to launch out, and we're going to catch some fish. He gave a command, didn't he? All right? When they got out there, how did the fish exert their will and get in the net? The Lord gave the command to fish. Fish! Get in the net! One another time they were fishing all on the left side. That's the wrong side. He said, cast your net on the right side. And they couldn't bring it in. It was exactly 153 feet. those fish got in that net because the Lord Jesus Christ gave the command. He chose which fish got in that net. He chose exactly 153. And he chose, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are His. He chose them. This is how this passage started, by sovereign election. The Lord chose these men. He gave the command. Thou hast given commandment to save me. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad it was the Lord's will to call you by His sovereign grace, that you'd hear His voice? Aren't you glad? You never would have heard His voice if He hadn't, according to His will and His power and His sovereign love and His sovereign choice of you, you would not have heard His voice. Simon, all right. Now, when they saw this, who saw it? Peter, Andrew, James, and John, these chosen men, they saw what the Lord had done. What did Simon Peter do? He fell at the knees of this man named Jesus. He thought he was Jesus of Nazareth. He thought he was a Jewish rabbi. He thought he was just a teacher. When he saw that he was Lord of the universe, master of the ocean, master of the sea, of the elements, the animals, everything, his master, in his hands to do with as he will, he hit his knees. And what did he say? What did he call him? And he called him that for the rest of his days. What? Lord. And so it is with everyone who is, be it a leper or a fisherman or who he is, what, no matter who it is. When they find out who Jesus of Nazareth is, they'll fall at his knees and they'll call him who he is, Lord. And they'll say, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Why are you having anything to do with me? And they'll say, like the leper, Lord, I'm unclean. It's all your will. It's all your will. Everyone. Philippians 2, go over there. Have you ever noticed how this is written? Philippians chapter 2. Notice this again with me, okay? We've read it so very many times. Philippians 2. I hope you read the article by A.W. Pink in our bulletin, did you? If not, read it carefully. It's the best I've ever read on the subject of His worthy name, on how we're to refer to our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, read with me very carefully, Philippians 2, verse 10 again. At the name of Jesus, that is, when you hear that name, says the leper heard, he saw Jesus. There he is, a man. There is a man. And you hear this man. Your knees should bow. The leper did. Simon Peter did. Things in heaven, doesn't matter who it is, what it is. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess. Here's what every tongue should say when you hear the name of Jesus. That Jesus Christ is Lord. What every tongue should say. Should say. And here is the word of faith. This is what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 10. Listen to this carefully. Listen carefully, okay? Quoted so often. The word is nigh you, even in your mouth and in your heart. The word of faith that we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. With the heart, with the mouth. You call him Lord. If you've really met him, that's what you call him. Simon did. The leper did. All the apostles did. And then it goes on to say, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. And it goes on to say, now whosoever shall call on the name of the what? The Lord. The fear of the what? The Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. Now how are they going to call on him whom they've not believed? Well, what's a preacher going to preach? The Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's who he is. That's his name. When you hear the name of Jesus, you and I, God's people, we call him Lord. Look at Isaiah 43 with me. Isaiah 43. How many times have we read this? How many times? What a blessed passage this is. I believe the Lord has called me. I believe the Lord has created a new creature in me. I believe the Lord has formed me. I believe the Lord has called me by my name. Sinner, Jacob, son of Jacob. I believe he's wrestled with me. Why do I believe that? How do I know that? Because he's revealed to me who he is. Look at Isaiah 43, verse 7. Everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Verse 10. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you might know, may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Who? Who? Before me there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord. And beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, I have saved, I have showed. No strange God among you. You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. And he goes on and on and on, doesn't he? So I will work. I will work. And who let me? So this leper came. Go back to our text. Look at this. You're going to like this. Verse 12. You have it? Luke 5, verse 12. It came to pass. Stop right there. Just stop right there. You know, everything has and will and shall come to pass exactly according to the way the Lord has purposed and willed. There's nothing, Barnard used to say, nothing writhes or wriggles but by the will and purpose of God, power of God. The Lord said, listen to this. This is Isaiah 14:24, the same chapter that speaks of Lucifer, the son of the morning, who said, I will. Listen, this is the same chapter, Isaiah 14:24. The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed it, so shall it stand. That's what he said then. It comes to pass. Why? Because the Lord brings it to pass. Aren't you glad? What are we talking about? Predestination. The determinate will and foreknowledge of God. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? All right, it came to pass when he was in a certain city. Stop right there. A certain city. He came to certain places. He passed through places, going to certain places. Why? Why? Nobody accepted? No, he hadn't chosen any of those people. But he went to certain places. He found certain people in certain places where he put them. He put them there. He had some waiting on him. Some he was waiting on. But they're going to meet in a certain place. And so will all of God's people. A certain place at a certain time. Just like all he came to say. He puts them where he will. He sovereignly commands them to come. He calls them, and according to his sovereign will, they come. And this was the day that this man was to come. Man, I wish it was a day. We're all lepers. And some, by the grace and mercy of God, realize it. It's the goodness of God to lead us to repent, to realize that we're lepers. And if we come to Christ, he drew us. Wouldn't it be wonderful if this was the day, a certain day, that the Lord called a leper from our bed? Well, call me again, Lord. He's in a certain city. Behold, a man full of leprosy. Now, once again, what's this all about? Let me tell you again, okay? Let me tell you what Paul wrote in Ephesians. He said, it's all, you know Ephesians 1, don't you? You love it? I started to go back and read it for you, and you're going to wish we had. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according as he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, having predestinated all things. He goes on to say this, all to the praise of the glory of his grace. It's all to the praise of the glory of his grace. All salvation, everything, everything in the kingdom of God is to the praise of the glory of His electing grace, choosing grace, redeeming grace, calling grace, keeping grace, restraining grace, constraining grace. Huh? It's all according to His grace. By grace you're saved. In chapter 2, Paul was going along and it's like he couldn't help himself. Oh, by grace you're saved. And he said it twice in case you didn't hear me. It's by grace you're saved. And you hath He quickened. Who were what? Dead. And you hath He called. Who wouldn't call on Him. And you hath He chosen. Who sure didn't choose Him. And you hath He drawn. Who would not come otherwise. It's all to the praise of the glory of His grace. And by grace we don't mean offer. We mean an act of God. An operation of God. Something God does, exerts. His sovereign will. His sovereign power. His grace. All right, look at this. Every word significant. Behold, a man full of leprosy, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought Him. Behold, a man full of leprosy. How many lepers were around there at that time? A lot. Next to casting out devils, I think lepers were the greatest miracle our Lord performed. Most. More than anything else. Why was there so many? Where were all the lepers? A great multitude followed Him. And here He comes, and they see, there He is. Everybody knows He's right there. He's by the ocean. Wondering. Says He came down from the mountain in Matthew 8. He came down from the mountain. Great multitudes followed. Behold. But one leper worshiped. Fell down at His feet before He asked anything. Before He said, if You will. He said, He worshiped Him. Like my pastor said, worship before anything. Whether He does anything for us or not, He needs to be worshiped. But this, behold, a man full of leprosy. How many lepers were there? Why did this man come? Have they not all heard? Yea, verily. This leper came. Behold. Behold. Behold me. You're looking at me. Behold. There was a day, Brother Stephen, I came. Full of leprosy. I had lots of friends. They didn't come. They're lepers. Why did I come? Behold the grace of God. When a leper, when somebody comes to Christ, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. He came, He bowed, He saw this man Jesus. He bowed at His feet, and He didn't call Him Jesus. What did He call Him? The Lord. There was a man hanging on a cross, his visage marred more than any man. Completely unrecognizable as a human being. A bloody Lamb of God. Hanging on a cross. Okay? There's a crowd of people, thousands upon thousands of people, who had killed this Jesus fella. Who said He was God. That's right. Simon Peter preached it later. I'm going to end with it. All right? There's a man hanging right beside him. Two men. One over here on his left hand said, yeah, Jesus, come down from the cross, get us down too. Behold. Would you behold with me that this one man out of this huge crowd of people who were crying for kill Jesus of Nazareth, kill him, this one man looked at this bloody man hanging on the tree, and you know what he said? Lord. He said, you're King of this universe. You're controlling this whole thing. That everybody and everything in this whole thing is under your divine, absolute control. And you're coming into your kingdom. You're about to go and sit at the right. How did he know all this? How did he know all this? The Lord revealed Himself to him. What's hidden to the natural eye. The Lord imparted to him. He heard His voice. And he saw that in that bloody, what was hidden to people, he saw that's not just a man killed named Jesus. That's the Lamb of God. That's the Son of God. That's the Lord of glory. That's the Lord of my righteousness. And he said, Lord, Lord, remember me. Same thing as a leper. If you will, you don't have to. Would you please remember me when you come into your kingdom? What the Lord said. Same thing with leper. I will. This day. Wilt thou. So he works all things after the counsel of his will. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Why? He called on the name of the Lord. As a guilty, vile, undeserving sinner, wretch, and said, save a wretch. Will you save a wretch like me? He said, I will. In fact, that's the only kind of saving. Lord, if thou wilt. This leper said, you don't have to. I don't deserve for you to. You don't need me. But I sure need you. And I can't be clean unless you do it. Lord, if thou wilt, you can. What did Christ say? Verse 13, put forth his hand, and he touched him, saying, I will. Now, who shall lay anything to charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died. How are we saved? By the will of God. By the word of God. With a word. He just frankly pronounced this man with a word, clean. You want to go look at that? Anybody? Leviticus 13. If I had one hand, we'd look at it. I have 10. Leviticus 13. Okay? Leviticus 13. If you haven't seen this, get ready to hop your pew. Leviticus 13. Now here's the law. Here's the law. Here's what the word says concerning a leper. A leper. The leper was to be brought to the priest. Jesus Christ is the only high priest. He's the only one that can cleanse. Alright? Verse 9. Now when the plague of leprosy is in a man, we have it, Leviticus 13:9. He shall be brought unto the priest. Leviticus 13:9-10. And the priest shall see him, if the priest shall look upon him. Behold, if the rising be white in the skin, is turned the hair white, there be quick raw flesh in the rising, it's an old leprosy in the skin of his flesh, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. And not shut him up, he's unclean. If the leprosy break out abroad in the skin, and the leprosy cover all the skin of him that hath the plague, from his head to his foot, that wherever the priest looks, he's covered with leprosy, from the sole of his feet to the top of his head. He's got no soundness in him. Isn't that what Romans 7 said? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease, David said in Psalm 38. Well, if the priest shall look upon one who comes to him, and there's no soundness in his flesh, no goodness anywhere, not one good little place to recommend him, don't have one good redeemable quality, nothing. Nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying soul. Listen. Then the priest, verse 13, shall consider, behold, if the leprosy has covered all his flesh, he shall pronounce him clean. It's all, he's clean. I don't understand. I do. This is the whole gospel. This is the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. Christ said, I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. He said, the well need on the physician. He said, I've come for lepers. No good. in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Everyone that comes to him like that, the Lord frankly, freely, forever will say, clean. But I don't feel clean. It's not your feeling, it's his word. It's his promising. It's according, it's his will. I will be thou clean. And immediately, look at that, verse 13. Immediately the leprosy departed from him. And whenever that time is, when a sinner comes to Christ, we don't know. I don't know when it was for me. You probably don't. You don't know when it was. But whenever the Lord gave the word, when he said, clean, you're clean. Sins are gone. They're gone. I will. So here's the question. Look at it. Here's the question. Not if you will. Are you willing? But is he willing? He can. And I don't know if he will or not. I'm not going to tell you that, you know, he's not obligated. Didn't the scripture say it may be? It may be that you'll be spared. Whose will is it? Whose glory is it? Who's the beggar? It's man, not God. Who's sovereign? Who calls who? Who needs who? Huh? Whose will is it? Whose choice is it? Whose glory is it? What's his name? Lord. That's his name. That's his glory. That's who he is. That's what he is. That's how he is. At Pentecost, Peter stood up and preached. He said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God by God, many miracles and signs as one of you have taken with wicked hands and crucified the Lord of glory. He said, hear these words now, Jesus of Nazareth, whom you crucified. You did what you wicked hands, you did what God determined before to be done. He said, let me tell you now, hear these words. This same Jesus, whom men you all have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. He didn't ask anybody if they were willing. He didn't ask anybody to come. He didn't have an altar call. He didn't give an invitation. He just declared Lord sitting on a throne and a bunch of guilty people who rejected and despised Jesus. And he said, now he's Lord. Now he's seated on the throne. He will do what he will with whom he will. He's seated on the throne. And you've sinned against him. You've sinned against his son. And Peter sat down. Sat down. And you know what? Behold, the power of God came. And 3,000 people did what? Hit their knees at the knees of a sovereign Lord. And they said, what shall we do? We've crucified the Lord in whose hands we are. And that, here's what they all did who heard who he really was. They bowed. They believed. They were baptized. They bowed. They believed. They were baptized. They said, we thought he was Jesus before. We now know he's Lord. We thought that, you know, we could do with him as we please before. We now know he can do with us as he pleases. And they all, to a man, what they were saying was, Lord, if you will, you can have mercy on us guilty sinners. You know what? He'll do it. And he did. Anybody? Okay. Let's sing a closing hymn, Brother John.